Welcome to the Cookbook Circle podcast. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Victoria.
We're two friends with a shared love of food, cooking, and all things cookbooks.
We are now in the third season of this podcast. Ooh. And this one is all about, well, not really anything in particular. We are themeless. So you can expect deep dives on certain dishes, reviews of cookbooks, of course, but there'll be new cookbooks, old cookbooks, all sorts of cookbooks. And of course, we'll be asking you, our lovely listeners, for some input on episodes that we're going to do.
It's going to be so fun. And if you love what we do, we're also on Patreon. This means if you'd like to support us, your subscription will help to cover the podcast's costs, from the books themselves to the ingredients for what we cook. And in return, you'll get some fun stuff like bonus mini-sodes. To find out more, visit our website, thecookbookcircle.com, or you can find the link in our show notes. Thanks, friends. Now, let's get to the fun part.
Hannah.
Oh, hello. Oh, hi.
Quiet as a mouse.
What's that fun little song?
I don't know. What is any song ever?
Okay. How are you doing? What have you been up to?
I guess the weather update before we go any farther is it's very cold in the British Isles.
Biting cold.
Yes. But beautiful. I have the bluest sky I've seen in about 2 years. I don't know about you.
Yeah, it is. It's delightful. I'll take this weather all day long above rain.
Yeah, me too.
And grey.
Yeah.
I'm a West of Ireland gal.
You know where it's not in the...
I don't need any more grey skies in my life.
Both real and metaphorical. Yeah. The pathetic fallacy.
Pathetic?
Is that why there's so many...
How dare you?
That's what it's called, right? A pathetic fallacy.
I don't know. This feels personal. I thought it was prophetic. Anyway, moving on.
Any creative writing teachers out there, hit us up. What have I been up to?
Sit down.
Watching a lot of Netflix because, as you'll all remember from our last meeting on the podcast, that I'm no longer working. But not no longer. Hopefully at some point
pleasure.
I will work again.
I've decided work's not for me.
Work isn't
no,
for
I
me,
that
but
a long
you know, you've got to pay for the bold beans. Yeah, you,
my
somehow.
God, do you? Wet every bean.
So I've been watching Netflix, and we are just going to have a quick chat, aren't we, about the food show du jour.
Yeah.
That came out in January, which is it called You Are What You Eat, the twin experiment?
Oh, God.
I believe.
You Are What You Eat. You Are What You Eat. Is that not the Julia McKeith program where she looked at the poo? Was that not You Are What You Eat too?
I think I don't think there's a copyright on it, I guess.
Okay, yeah. Yes, I mean, full disclosure, I haven't watched all of this, but.
No.
You have.
I have.
And I talk because, enough in this like podcast.
That's not true. I've watched it. It's very interesting. It's not something I think that we would usually talk about because it's a bit like a diety.
Yeah. So
right? Like it's borderline diety.
Yeah.
But we are going to talk about it, so I guess.
Yeah, we don't like diets. But so the premise is there's twins and one of them goes vegan and one doesn't, right?
Yes. So, yeah, essentially that's the premise. And they monitor, like, everything to do with their health, from, like, their gut microbiome Ooh. All the way to their, like, you know, fat and muscle percentage mm-hmm. and even their, like, sexual arousal.
Oh, how does one measure that?
They literally go into like a booth, some kind of MRI situation, and they watch porn at the beginning of the experiment and at the end, both men and women. Oh. And their sexual arousal is tested.
Interesting. Hi.
Well, I don't know about sexual arousal is probably the wrong. Yes, you do get to choose the porn.
I choose cheese. If I was on the vegan diet, I'd just be asking them to show me videos of cheese, real cheese.
maybe sexual arousal isn't the right metric, but some kind of.
Excitement.
Yes, exactly. So the whole thing is that it's not the omnivore gets to just eat whatever they want. It's that they both are on a similarly healthy diet.
Okay.
But one just happens to be omnivore and one happens to be vegan.
Okay.
And it's for 4 weeks they are sent the food.
Oh, okay.
Right? So they're given the food to eat. They're only allowed to eat what they've been sent, both of the twins. Yeah. And then I think it's 4 more weeks from that they have to do it themselves.
Yes. Okay.
But still staying on a vegan or omnivore diet.
Interesting.
It's fascinating. And obviously, it's pure vegan propaganda. Mm-hmm. It's propaganda. We've talked about vegan food a lot. Yeah. I think it's great. I think it's an American show as well. Yes. So they do talk to a lot of Americans. Farmers.
Yeah.
Americans and farmers.
Okay, yeah.
Which is interesting. And there's this one farmer, he used to be a chicken farmer, and he is no longer a chicken farmer. He's now a vegan.
Oh, he's no longer a chicken farmer. He's a vegan because of his...
He's a mushroom farmer now. Oh. Spoiler alert for the end of the show. Sorry, lads. But it is fascinating. So by the end, you see the changes in these twins, and that most often the vegan twin is better.
He's ranking higher on all fronts. Right.
Yes, on all of the fronts. And it is really they've picked really good sets of twins a lot of the time, because there's one set of twins who are South African chefs.
Okay.
And if you know anything about South African food, it's very meat heavy, right? There's another set of twins who own a cheese shop.
Nice. Okay.
So that's rough for the vegan one.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, they don't get to pick either. Ooh. It's assigned at random who gets what. It's fascinating, and it definitely, I came away from it and I texted Hannah, I'm like, I'm going to go vegan, I think.
Well, this is why I wanted to talk about it, because to me that was a huge text to get from you. Not that you're gnawing on a T-bone steak every hour of the day, desperate Dan. But I just thought it must have been pretty impactful for you to think that way.
Yeah, I think, I've talked about it on the pod before. I think that vegan food is fascinating. Mm. And I tell you what they do actually on that show that really almost convinced me got me thinking, is they have the chef and owner or whatever from 11 Madison Park.
Oh, really?
And they obviously are they were voted the best restaurant in the world for many years. And then during the pandemic, he decided we're going to be a vegan restaurant.
Wild.
And he talks about that process and all the bad press that they got from going completely plant-based. Oof. And then they kept their 3 Michelin stars.
Yeah.
And I still think that's I think it will, obviously it's they had to really try hard to get it all right. Yeah. And I don't think they did get it right in the beginning, but they talked about he talks about fermenting and all the different things, and it's still a success.
Yeah. Was there a deciding moment in it for you that made you think about or was it just the general results and seeing the health thing, the kind of health impact?
I think that Yeah, I think that the health impact stuff is like, it's fascinating. Like, it's just really interesting.
It is, yeah.
But the, you know, the fitness people, like they did have like personal trainers throughout the experiment, and you know they do say, oh, it can be hard, if especially if you're trying to like bulk up or whatever, to like get enough of the protein if you're on a vegan diet, because like, and I thought that, you know, I just think it's really interesting, and I think that I probably could do it because I don't eat dairy really.
Yeah, you're not a huge fan.
Yeah, I'd miss eggs. I'm also really interested in like the technology side of it. But then there's this part of me, this other part of me, that doesn't like how like processed and engineered a lot of these like fake or like the vegan foods are.
Yeah, I guess it comes back to that thing of like, I think we talked about it a bit in the Georgina Hayden episode as well, about her vegan book. Because like, can you just live a vegan life without having to rely on those kind of replacements of literally just like beans and pulses? And but yeah, then once you start getting into like fake vegan cream or cheese, then it's really processed, right?
A lot of like they have this woman all the way throughout the show from a company called Miyoko's Creamery, which I think it's literally Miyoko, and she's like very good like artisan vegan cheeses. And then she talks about their like mozzarella for pizzas, that they couldn't get the melt on for the longest time, but then she decided, well, what if we made it into like a liquid, essentially, that you like squirt on to your pizza and then it melts. And it does melt. It like, from what I saw on the show, it melts perfectly, and I was like, oh, that's a good idea, like
interesting.
And they took it to like a pizza show and stuff, but then it's like there's no talk in it about like what's in that, like what's in it, like what are the components of it. And it's a bit like vegan butter, you know, it's really just like vegetable oil.
Yes, I'm also so interested to see how this interacts with the whole, like, is it in Japan, where they have like
Japan.
The in the long
never heard of it.
Where they have the people who live the longest.
Yes.
And it's a lot down to their oily fish and rice and like not much else, right? Like, it's like they're the staples of the diet, and because of like omega-3s or whatever, then these people live for ages and are really healthy. Like, how does the not no animal or anything, I want to see a scale, basically a ranking.
How much is it's just fascinating.
It is interesting,
and
I wish, you know, get a nutritionist on the show. sorry, no offense, anyway.
I was like, oh, what we're talking to about today, vegan?
Yeah, no. Really. Some of it is, some of it isn't.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about this episode.
You are.
I just think
Hannah's buzzed to record this.
I am, because I just think it's helpful, right? I hope this is helpful to people.
Yeah.
Because everyone, you eat tomato sauce all the time. Like, it's such a simple, delicious thing. And probably everyone has their own little twist on how they like to make it. But, and I never know, right? If I'm doing like pizzas or pasta, I don't make tomato sauce for pasta loads. But when I do, I'm like intrigued to try like a different recipe. So I just found it so interesting trying these different methods so like close together to see the differences between them and how that impacts the taste. And like, for me, there's still a clear favorite. So I feel like it's just been a really interesting, little experiment.
I'm excited too, but I think it's fun to talk about. I do eat like tomato pasta quite a lot.
Do you?
What we do in the house.
It's a good one for kids as well, right? Like, I mean, I feel it's a family staple that everyone likes.
Yes, I agree. And it's easy to throw together. It's like healthy, yeah. Mostly. It's good. You don't have to put too much salt in it if you've got really little ones, yeah. And you can add the salt for you after.
Yeah, yeah. I did think what was interesting in all of this was that the seasoning to me was never like measured in any of the recipes. And I think that would have been helpful, like, because I think, again, because of that thing that most people are probably eating like under seasoned food a lot of the time. I've always found it really helpful in recipes. Like, I think Mira Soda stands out in my memory for this. So she's always like half a teaspoon of salt or a teaspoon of salt. And it's just like really good because it makes the difference and it makes sure you're seasoning it correctly. Whereas I thought all of the recipes that we looked at actually could have done better with a bit more clear instruction on, like, maybe the video one less so. But anyway, should we get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it. So we did three recipes.
We thought about which ones to do just based on kind of like, yeah, I guess kudos and popularity online and, yeah, things like that. So the first one that we looked at was by Felicity Cloak in The Guardian, who is, this is her bag, right? This kind of episode is like what she does on a weekly basis, where she comes up with the perfect recipe for a million things. And she tests loads of different recipes.
Cookie one, right? For chocolate chip cookies. Yes.
Basically, she usually like whittles down the list a million times for us to get to a recipe that's really, helpful. So she tests like Marcella Hazan's one, Angela Hartnett, Anna Del Conte, a million people, Giorgio Locatelli, the River Cafe, and she comes up with this perfect tomato sauce, which is interesting to me. So she chooses, she says you can use tinned or fresh tomatoes, olive oil, a small onion, finely chopped, garlic, sugar, dash of red wine vinegar. That bit is the bit that's interesting for me. And I think you mentioned on text too that it is for you. And three stems of fresh basil, which is so specific, and more olive oil to serve. So, if you're using fresh tomatoes, you blanch the tomatoes and you take off the skins. If not, you kind of skip that step. But you heat the oil, add chopped onion, soften that for about 5 to 7 minutes, translucent but not coloured. Stir in the garlic, and that's two cloves crushed. You tip in the tomatoes and you break them up with a wooden spoon if you need to. And then you add sugar, vinegar and the stems of the basil, reserving the leaves. Season lightly, she says. Again, like, yeah, I just think I'd prefer more. And then she says, bring to a simmer, then turn down the heat and simmer for 45 minutes, stirring occasionally until thick. After that, test the seasoning, add the basil leaves, roughly torn, and drizzle in a little extra olive oil if you like before serving. So this was actually the first one that I made. Was it for you as well?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. And I thought it was fine. I thought it was good. It's the only one where you kind of have the chopped onion in from the beginning.
Yeah.
And you kind of leave them in there. And I think she actually says something in the Epicurious recipe about what that means, but I can't remember, so this is a useless comment.
She says, I know. She says that if you're chopping things, it's a marinara sauce.
Yes.
But if you're not chopping things, then it's a pomodoro sauce. Yeah, which I think is what we're kind of going for.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that difference between marinara and pomodoro before, actually. But because marinara just seems such an American thing to me. Like, I think I've only ever heard it in Friends when it falls over, like, Monica in the kitchen and she's dancing around covered in marinara sauce. Friends reference of the episode. But so the chopped onion was interesting. And then the red wine vinegar for me was just too... I didn't like it. I don't think I liked it.
I think it added a weird tang that the sauce didn't need. You don't need that with tomatoes, right? That's what the sugar is for. It's to offset your tang. Yes. Offset your tang. Yeah, great name for a band.
That tang. Yeah, so I actually, because I was serving this for dinner for me and Tom, I just balanced it. I put more sugar in because I was just like, I don't like this vinegar. I don't like it in here.
I think so, also you talked about like measurements. Like, it's not measured, right? She just says a splash.
A dash. Yeah.
What does that mean? Yeah.
So I was a bit disappointed in that one. I just thought it was too bitter.
And, how did you eat
so
it?
So I added with spaghetti. Mm. But I wouldn't have liked it if I hadn't added more sugar in, basically. Yeah. I just thought it was a bit too tangy.
I put it on a pizza.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I was making pizza for my son's birthday party with his friends, and I put it on that. And yeah, it just, something was, and it was fine because then we had the like cheese on top and like it added all together. Yeah. But yeah, I think like you, I wouldn't have liked it with just on its own with spaghetti. I feel like even like Parmesan wouldn't have saved that.
Yes.
Also, I do think it's really interesting, like you said, like you chop the onion really finely and keep that in, but the garlic comes out, right? Or it can, because you've just got whole crushed cloves in that one.
Yes.
So it's like kind of mishmash of like, garlic that's just infusing, but onion that stays in there. And it doesn't matter. It makes it more of like a less of a smooth sauce, I suppose.
She doesn't like onions. Because she doesn't say to remove the garlic, I chop them up a bit finer than just leaving them crushed as well. The flavour was fine. But yeah, it was that red wine vinegar for me. It just wasn't the one.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that again. So a good one. It's quite old, isn't it, that recipe? When did she write it? Not that it matters. The Marcella Hazama is old too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I suppose. I don't know, actually. When did you write this, Felicity? 2013.
Sorry, that was me loading the video for the next. I just opened my iPad. Yeah. And the video is playing for the next one we're going to talk about.
Okay, so that's Felicity, number one.
Yeah, so I'd say that's a good one. Freely available online. Leave the vinegar out. Unless you like that. You want that kind of vinegary tang. But if you want that vinegary tang, like put it, put like a balsamic or something. I don't know, it's weird. Who am I to say? So the next one we did
a food podcaster, that's who you are.
That is true.
I'm an eater.
I am an eater. I'm a lover and an eater. So the next one is one from Epicurious, which is only available in a video. I could not find a link with like the whole recipe, which is quite annoying if you're like me and Hannah and don't love to watch videos.
Mate, honestly, that was going to be my first point. It just reinforced how much I fucking hate cooking from video. I absolutely hate it. Pause, rewind, pause. Yeah. Like, it's just, and the recipe definitely should have been in the kind of caption of the video.
Yes. So that's annoying. But I know a lot of people don't feel that way about videos and that's how they like learn and cook, but not for me. But anyway, it's a great video, and it's a really well thought out and described recipe. So it's Epicurious, and it's a chef, and I've closed the tab now, but I think her name is Lisa Spilling.
Is she in Saved by the Bell?
You are funny.
Thank you.
I've lost it, but anyway. Yeah, shout out to Lisa. I think her name's Lisa. And she's a professional chef, and she talks about...
Lish.
Oh, damn it.
Lish stealing.
Well, I was close.
Stealing our hearts and our minds.
I got the AI version of her name, Lisa Stilling. And so she talks you through, it's very simple, actually, like all of these. So it's tomatoes. She uses a 28-ounce can, which is about 800 grams, 200-400 gram cans, which she has you hand crush.
Yes, she does, like the nonnas.
Yeah, like the nonnas have been doing for decades. So yeah, crush. I'm doing a little claw. So that's before you put them into your thing. So this is all in the prep. And then garlic, she does not specify how many garlics, but I counted in the picture. Does she?
No, I was the same. I was like, what? How many is she putting in that pan? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was about 6. So I just did the same as her. Smashed and peeled.
Mm-hmm.
Like me at the weekend. Not that even means.
Fucking smashed and peeled, mate. Smashed and peeled.
That's a great accent. Not right. My accent, but some. It's a great impression of somebody's accent.
A lad.
Lad. So tomatoes, hand crushed, garlic, smashed and peeled. A red onion.
Ooh. Yeah, she's particular about that, isn't she?
Yes, red onion because it adds a sweetness. Yeah.
We know this because we've had to watch the video about 6 times in order to glean the recipe. I feel like we can quote this woman.
I could like lip sync this whole video.
You mean lip sync?
That's funny. Hannah's on form this afternoon.
I'm so excited about the tomatoes.
You are. Red onion, chopped in half, peeled, ends off, right? And that's it, just chopped in half, no chopping. Because if you're chopping, you're making a marinara.
You want things chonky in here so you can scoop them out later.
Yes, we're scooping later. A carrot,
smashed and peeled.
Yeah. The carrot is peeled and just kind of cut into big chunks.
Yeah.
Again, that will be removed later. And then some basil. And what she calls the magic ingredient, which is a parmesan rind.
Yes.
Ooh.
Love this. So I have heard this before for soups from Nigel Slater. I think I've said it on the episode before. But I thought this was interesting. I didn't use parmesan because I just had a couple of Grana Padanos in the fridge. And it's a cost of living crisis, as we
like. Yeah, I think ours might have been... No, as was, I thought what we had was pecorino, but when I looked, it was parmesan because I'm fancy. But that went in. I'll be honest, when you take this out at the end, that really gave me the ick. Like the floppy little parmesan.
She munches it.
And she eats it. Could watch that bit of the video, let me tell you. That is, it's pure ick. Right. So let me tell you the method, which didn't give me the ick. So olive oil into a pan. She uses a stainless steel pan. I didn't.
But I actually own one, personally.
I'll send you one. I don't know where from.
Okay. You can find my only pan as it is anyway. I use my code for everything. Use my code. Well, big pans.
Big pans. Only pans.
Oh god, wow guys,
who
knew that tomato sauce could be this much fun.
Olive oil into your medium hot pan, and then you add your smashed and peeled garlic and let that kind of infuse and like, you know, cook a little bit for a minute or so.
She quite browns them, doesn't she?
She quite browns them.
And then she says, if only you could smell what I'm smelling.
She does say that, yeah. And then you put your tomatoes in that have been hand crushed like the nonnas. By the way, she says she prefers tin
been
tomatoes.
By the way. Nobody's hand crushing the nonnas.
You would you could never.
I could never crush a nonna.
In go your tomatoes, and then I think I believe the verb she uses for your onion, palm rind, and carrot is nuzzle. She's like, just nuzzle or nestle, you know, put them in there.
Yes, she does, yes. That's
to like, you know, infuse. And then she says kind of does she say, like, bring it to a simmer and then turn it down? And she's like, 25 minutes. She's like, go away for 25 minutes. She says you should have a bath.
Yeah,
she does. Or boil your pasta water. I don't know what pasta water takes 25 minutes to boil. Your oven's not working properly if that's the case. but yeah, she's 25 minutes. And then you come back and it seems as if like the measure of it being done is if the carrot is kind of like tender and soft.
Yes.
This is where I started to lose interest.
I kind of got what I needed from this everything. Video.
Yeah. You remove everything. She, like I said, munches down on the Parmesan rind. It's all like floppy. But she talks about how it's very edible. There's no wax in it.
Yeah.
And she does she say that if it's pecorino or something, it's vegetarian?
Oh, yeah, I think that's right. Isn't it? Parmesan is nut.
Yeah. Yes. Take all that out. She is a bit cheeky and says that sometimes she leaves the basil in. What a cheeky cheek.
Delish. You lad.
Delish. And then she says it depends on how you like it in terms of texture, but I think she puts the hand blender through it, doesn't she, to make it like
she does,
really
yeah.
smooth. I did not
An
do
immersion
that.
Immersion blender. Me neither.
And then just serve it over your... Oh, no, she adds the spaghetti into it, does she? Oh, no, she serves it with spaghetti.
She does, yeah. That's the last bit.
No,
of the video
she adds palm in, doesn't she? Sorry, I've missed this bit out. She adds palm and a little bit more olive oil, I think, into the sauce after all your things have come out.
Yeah.
And then she serves it with spaghetti.
Yeah.
Does that chefy thing where she, like, twists it around that, like, nobody knows how to do.
Well, Victoria, look at my picture that everyone else will get to see on Instagram soon. But is this not a nice little twirl of a pasta?
Oh! That is a nice little twirl.
Tongs. Game changer. Tongs.
Nice.
I didn't know how to open and close them for the longest time. You know how you put tongs?
Oh, right. There's like a little
lock
bit.
You know, at the bottom... Yeah, I mean, I know how to move my hands that way. It's like a crab. And I know from the nonnas.
The nonnas have been teaching you.
But when I lived with my friends before moving out on my own, they had tongs and they used to be closed and I never had a notion how to open them. Until someone had to show me at the company bake sale that I ran just before Christmas. I had these tongs that I'd ordered from Amazon and I was walking around, I couldn't unlock them and I never know how to open these, and someone just showed me that you pull the bottom. But yeah, since that, it's unlocked. It's not just unlocked the tongs, but a whole world of possibility.
Nobody tell the Paris cordon bleu this story, because
what do you think? I've missed the tutorial on tongs.
The graduating student doesn't know how to unlock some tongs.
That tongue to tongue tongue tongue.
Oh, that is funny.
Anyway, but now my pasta looks great.
Yeah, it does. I take it back.
Thank you.
So yeah, what did you think?
I liked this one.
Mm.
It was fine. I thought it was good, actually. Yeah, it was nice. I made this and the next one at the same time, so I literally could spoony spoony. So yes, I thought this was nice. What did you think?
I thought it was good. I thought
you could taste the all the aromatic-y things that had been added.
Do you think? I thought it was quite mild, like a taste. Like it wasn't. It didn't. Like the next one we're going to talk about, it's missing a bit of, you know, from vinegar, you know, some lemon, some lime. I think the next one we're going to talk about, which will shock no one, whichever the one it is, and I don't know why we're being like cagey about it, but it doesn't, that's fine.
Big reveal.
We should give the Epicurus one the airtime that it deserves.
Come on,
I don't know if I didn't cook it for long enough or I don't know. Maybe my Parmesan rind wasn't rindy enough. But it just was quite a mild, but it was really nice. It was quite, it was just quite mild and yeah. delicate in a taste.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It didn't knock my socks off, I wouldn't say, but it was nice. And I liked that it was fairly low maintenance apart from the squishing of the tomatoes.
Yes. Which was fine when you've got tinned, right? Because they're peeled anyway.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I think this would have been good on a pizza. We had it with spaghetti, but it would be quite good as a pizza topping, I thought. You know, quite inoffensive, smooth. Like me, really.
Inoffensive and smooth.
Smashed and peeled at the weekend. Inoffensive and smooth.
Munter fry. What I did think was that if we were like maybe paid to do this, it was our job and we could commit a lot more time to it, you could test out which ones were better on pasta and pizza as well, and then just like come to an ultimate kind of, couple of recommendations. Yeah. But yeah, I thought it was nice. And the basil, this was more basil-y for me. Three stems of basil in the Felicity Cloak one. I think I don't know if chopping the stems of the basil... So sorry, I seem to have a surplus of blood. Chopping the stems of the basil. I don't know if that added much in the Felicity Cloak one either. But this one,
did you know that you had to like pull the bottom out of the stem to open them up?
You would. In this one, you kind of she does a quite healthy bunch of basil, doesn't she? And she just tears it off.
Basilica, I believe that she calls it, doesn't she?
Oh, she loves throwing in an odd Italian word in there. But yeah, no, it was good. Yeah, I agree. It would be good on pizza.
Yeah. Or like a bruschetta or something, you know, a little toasty.
Toast. Yeah.
I believe that's what the English call it, the nonnas call it, the grandmas. Grandma Padana.
And then the last one that we did.
The Old Faithful.
The Mac Daddy of tomato sauces. It's not the first time we've mentioned it, either in this episode or in previous episodes. But the Martella Hazan tomato onion,
butter, onion. That's it.
Boom.
That's
surely the lowest maintenance of the lot. So literally all you do is like open two cans of tomatoes with was them in the pot.
Yeah.
Half an onion and take the skin off, put that in the pot, and then it's like 5 tablespoons of butter.
Yeah.
From the New York Times. But I think she has it in grams in her normal in her cookbook. Book.
Yeah.
And you just put that in a pot and let it simmer away for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you remove the onion and season it. And that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah, that is just it.
One of the shortest recipes. It is so good.
This is a mother sauce to me. Like, I don't care what the lads at La Rousse say. It's so good.
It's so good. And it's the butter, I think.
Mm.
I used Kerrygold, obviously. Mm. But I tasted them side by side. Yeah, as I said, this one with the Epicurious one. And I tasted the Epicurious one first. And I was like, good. And then I tasted the Marcella Hazan one. And I was just like, no, that just wins every time.
Yeah.
On both flavour and... maintenance, right? Like, it's just so easy. You can just prep it in like 90 seconds.
It's such a great like weeknight meal because you just got put it on and then forget about it, go and have a bath or whatever Lise does during this time. And then
boil your pasta after for 45 minutes.
Eat it. Boil your pasta. Yeah.
It's just great. It's just delicious. And the colour and everything, the butter adds like a certain creaminess. It's delicious. We love it.
You know, you may argue, and some people did, I noticed, on the Felicity Cloak piece. If you look at the comments, people are like, butter in tomato sauce? You're crazy. And obviously, that is not very Italian if we're playing that game. But Marcella Hazan, she's the final boss of Italian cooking for me.
Yes, she is.
And, you know, you obviously... you know what I'm talking about because I have read a number of books, including Jamie Oliver, who, you know, is an Italian genius, right? So
he's something.
And yeah, I just think it's so good. I was talking about this earlier to Stephen. We eat this a lot in our house, like,
yeah,
you know, at least once a month, more often than that, I would say. And yeah. I don't think it would be good on pizza. I think it's too rich and lovely. And
oh, interesting.
I think it would be wasted on pizza. Stephen didn't agree with me, but he isn't on this podcast, so he doesn't get to say his opinion right now. But I'm just saying he didn't agree with me. But I think for me, it's too...
unctuous.
Yes. Yeah, it deserves its own place in the sun, and it doesn't deserve to be covered in cheese.
Maybe we come back in the next season and we do pizza and pasta best tomato sauce.
Yeah.
And we go from there. I might make a... So the last two that I made haven't found a home yet. They're just existing in their purest forms. But I might make a pizza and try the Marcella Hasan one on you.
And you can... on me. Don't put it on me, mate.
I want you dancing all around in the marinara sauce. And yeah, give you my verdict. But as far as I'm concerned, this was a worthy piece of work. But Marcella Hasan wins again. What a girl.
Yeah, she does win again. And this is why she had the best book on our original list, right? On the original list of ultimate cookbooks. I think
she knows her stuff.
She's
simple.
She's
delicious.
She's the best. And that you should just go make that tonight. Whoever you are listening. If you've never made it before, just go ahead. Everyone will love it. I like to eat the onion.
Yes, I agree. I don't think you should waste that onion at all. It's delicious. You could literally just put that on toast and it would be bloody great.
Yeah.
But yeah, eat the onion. Make the sauce, eat the onion, get a Marcella Hasan book.
C'est la vie.
Subscribe to our podcast.
Do you want to rank them, the other two? Obviously, Marcella wins out for all of us. Do you want to rank the other two as one and two?
Yeah. Number two would be the Epicurious one. Number three would be the Felicity Cloak one.
Same for me, I think.
I was conservative with the vinegar, but I still, it wasn't for me. Same for you then?
Yeah, same for me. Obviously, the Epicurious one loses points for being a video recipe. But, you know, if I'd seen it on TikTok, would I have also cooked it? But it would have been shorter. But anyway.
Yeah. Just anyone making videos, please just put the recipe in there.
Yes. Or at least the caption. At least the measurements, you know?
Yes.
How many garlic cloves, Lise?
Yeah, we don't want to be counting. Counting's for nerds.
Pausing it. Counting's not for nerds. Maths is cool,
sorry. We'd love to hear if you've made the Marcella Hasan recipe, dear listeners, and if you love it as much as we do. If you have another one, what did we miss? And what else you would like us to test on these ultimate episodes? Talking to friends who are also listeners, the best of friends, they do seem to enjoy these ultimate episodes. So we want to know, outside of the people who are, you know, predetermined to like me, if you also find them useful and what other recipes would be interesting for you to hear about.
And send me your fave vegan transition cookbooks or recipes.
Yes. Well, we are going to do an exciting one, aren't we, for soon?
Yes, we are.
I was like, yes, we are.
We've done that. Also, in big vegan news, I told Hannah this and she was shocked and excited. I'm going to Japan. This is relevant. I'm going to Japan in a few days for a holiday, and I was like, I was thinking about going vegan and how much I would miss mayonnaise, but specifically QP.
Yeah.
They do a vegan version.
That's huge, isn't it?
In Japan. It's huge. It's very expensive to get here, but I will stock up and bring it back and try it as long as I can find it, which I'm sure I will be able to, and I will try it and give you all my review.
Delicious. I'm thrilled. I can't wait to hear about Japan. It's going to be so good.
I may post some fun things on our Instagram from there.
Please do.
That you might enjoy. And if anybody has, I'm also going to be in Seoul for like 12 hours in Korea.
Yeah.
So if anybody has any foodie or any tips for Seoul or Fukuoka, Japan, then
send
them over.
Slide into the DMs.
I think I'll be there by the time this comes out. So send them over.
Well, thank you for listening, dear listeners.
Thank you. And, you know, go cook your tomato sauce.
And eat the onion.
And always eat the onion.
We love you.
And offset your tang. Always. Love you. Happy New Year.
Love you. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Cookbook Circle. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast and leave us a review, as it helps others to find us and enjoy us. You can see how the recipes from this episode turned out on our Instagram at Cookbook Circle, where you can also get in touch with us, let us know your thoughts, feedback, ideas for episodes, whatever you like. We really love to hear from all of you. So we'll see you next time. Bye. Bye.